Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in this studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
How are you doing, Stone?
I am doing well. Always look forward to Monday morning on the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. This segment, you might remember, is going to be brought to us by the Coles College of Business Executive MBA program out at Kennesaw State University.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, there's the good folks out there. Alvin Miles, of course, who we got to know. And even if you're not particularly academically inclined, I could advocate being a student at KSU just for the dining hall alone.
That's right, Sunday brunch.
I love it out there. And your buddy Astrakhan, I think.
Joe Astrakhan?
Yeah, they have the Family Business Executive MBA.
That's right. You can get an executive MBA in lots of different things over there.
Well, just a world-renowned program, and then one of our good friends and colleagues here at this Business Talk Network, Meredith Moore, she has the Family Business Radio Show, and I think that they do some stuff together out there, don't they?
That's right. They work together helping family business owners kind of get the most out of their business.
So we're delighted to have them as a sponsor. This is going to be a fantastic segment. A little bit later in the program, we are going to hear from a lady who specializes in career transitions, Dr. Marilyn Carroll. But first up on the High Velocity Radio Show this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the Executive Director for WIT, Women in Technology. Welcome to the show, Stephanie Hill.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
We are delighted to have you. Women in Technology, mission, purpose, what are you guys out there trying to do for folks?
Oh, well, we are passionate advocates for advancing the careers of women in Georgia's technology community. Really important, because what we're all about is making sure that businesses succeed and grow in the Atlanta community.
Now, there's a lot of technology firms in Atlanta, right?
There are absolutely a lot, yes.
How many women-owned or women-involved technology firms? Like, do you know what percentage?
Not enough. It's a very small percentage. I mean, you can count it on one hand, the percentages. So
really?
We've got our work to do, yes.
Why do you think that is?
Because traditionally women were not seeking technology careers, mm-hmm. and over time then that leaves a hole or a gap in the decision-making team, the diversity of the decision-making team. So ultimately, we've got some work to do just to make sure that women are interested in technology careers, educated in technology careers, and then advancing in those careers.
And so are women not making the hiring decisions as well? Is that part of it?
Well, that's part of it. I mean, it kind of goes back to the whole diversity thing, that people hire people like themselves. And so once we get a table full of individuals who make hiring decisions who look like the population we're trying to hire, then it works. And because of that gap, we don't have that, and thus the problem.
Now, at what point are women kind of not getting into the pipeline of technology jobs? Like, is it happening like as early as elementary school, or is it something like in college they're choosing a different path? Like, where does the pipeline kind of drop off?
You know, it's across the board, and we've got to get to young ladies early in the educational careers. So elementary school is not too young to start exposing young ladies to the opportunities. It's that point, especially around middle school, when girls start to try to find their identity and they don't have enough role models around, you know, a technology career, that they just automatically choose to go someplace else because they think that that's what girls are supposed to do.
Right. So less cheerleading and more robot.
Okay. Absolutely. You know, and that's exactly it. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I had a train set and I had toy cars and I had a doll baby. And it's that diversity that's right. put in front of a child that allows them to think then that, you know, hey, maybe I do want to go build right. the cars instead of change the diapers or both.
Right.
This really surprises me. I'm the father of two girls. At least that's their mother's story. And both of them are just so facile with the cell phone and the computer and the Twitter and all that business. So I would have thought they would both really gravitate to technology. My oldest is not. She's going political science, international affairs, and she's going to be fantastic at it. I don't think she's going to save any money, but she'll make a ton, and she'll have a good life. I don't know about my 14-year-old. Is there anything that I can or should be doing to at least give her an opportunity to give technology a fair shake at this age? What are some things I can do just as an interested parent?
And it's all about exposure. So it is finding people who are doing great things or interesting things in the field of science, technology, engineering, and math. So I think we need to talk about that, because it's not just what we would consider traditional technology. But find those people and expose your daughters to those individuals. Let them talk about what they do. Whenever there are interesting things on TV or programs that you can get your daughter involved in that will, again, open up her eyes to what the possibilities are. I mean, kind of bottom line, children don't go into careers that they don't know about. And right. So you've got to expose them.
Right. I'll tell you something that was very profound to my child. I have a 14-year-old son, and the ATDC and Startup Lounge was doing an event called Startup Make, where in 48 hours, a bunch of college kids had to actually make a product / business from scratch. And my kid got to see the end of that, where the judging happened, where he saw the finished product. Mm-hmm. And he was profoundly impacted by that. Like, he saw that it was possible in literally 2 days to have an idea and to make it come to life. And that really kind of moved him. Like, he had never thought of being an entrepreneur or anything like that. He didn't, because he couldn't picture it in his head, like mm-hmm. you were saying. And here was a real live example of kids sweating like piles of Red Bull, you know, on the table and, you know, like papers everywhere, laptops, they're exhausted. But they, at the end of the day, he's seeing like the presentation of these amazing businesses. And he's like, they just did this in 2 days? Like, yeah, that's what's possible.
Mm-hmm. And, absolutely.
And, are there opportunities like that for girls and women to see things like that? Or is that part of what you guys are charged to do?
It's part of what we do. And one of the things we pride ourselves on is that we partner with organizations across Atlanta. We know we can't do this by ourselves.
Right.
So one of those organizations, and you kind of hit on it, is First Robotics.
Uh-huh.
So First Robotics has a national program where they have young people who compete on teams to build robots, and then those are judged. And so we sponsor we're a regional sponsor of First Robotics, and then we also make sure that we have girls that we position to be a part of that competition. So besides that, we do a number of programs ourselves. We have an organization called Girls Get IT. And in that organization, the word is exposure. We are exposing young girls to the different careers. So we partner with the business community, which is such a critical part of this. We cannot do this without business being involved.
Now, when you say partner, what does partnering mean?
Partner means, it means a lot of things for us, but in that specific instance, organizations will sponsor a day with the girls,
uh-huh.
and so they will do anything from what we call a behind-the-scenes event to a job shadow event. So a behind-the-scenes event may be where they come into that business,
right.
and the executives in the business, a lot of them women, but not just women. We want men and women to talk to these young ladies about the careers. The thing that's nice about this, though, is they really, wherever possible, they give them examples because our kids need visual examples.
Right.
So a great partner of ours is McKesson, and McKesson makes healthcare products.
Right.
And so they will take them into their lab, and they will spend a day seeing the things, the same thing that you were talking about,
right.
seeing the results of a job. Then in combination with that, they're seeing people who look like them. So they're seeing other women who are leaders. For example, the CIO of McKesson is a woman, mm-hmm. and she will be intimately involved in this. And then they talk to them about salaries. They talk to them about education. And that's the key. Once you've got them interested and you've got their attention, now you go back and you talk about math. Now, why is math important?
Well, like, how does that connect to this?
Right, there
right,
you go. You know? And all of a sudden, you have a more of a reason to take that math class than
right.
just because my mother told me to,
right.
because that is the piece that I need to be able to see myself sitting in that seat.
Now, I would imagine this gets a little frustrating from your standpoint in that the girls and women, they're such users of technology, you know? They just love it. And they're not making that connection, like you
That's
said,
right.
that the math and science and the engineering, those are the things that you need in order to create that. So instead of being consumers of it, you could be actually producers of it if you just kind of change your mindset just a little bit.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And we take it even further. So when we're talking about STEM careers, we really, a lot of times I spend having conversations with girls. In fact, I'll tell you, I did an event at Northwest Georgia Trade Center last mm-hmm. week, and they had about 5,000 students come through this area. And I had a little group of about, 10 young ladies who were in the eighth grade, and I was asking them what they wanted to be when they grow up. And every single one of them would say, well, a few were doctors, and, you know, there was one in computer science, but then it was cosmetology and culinary arts, and I can't remember some of the other ones. But when I asked them by a show of hands how many of those were technology roles, none of them raised their hand. And so we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, when you look at these jobs that you're doing, they're technology, because right. just about everything touches it. And it was interesting, by the time it was a 5-10 minute conversation, they had a different perspective, because, you know, before, when I asked them to raise their hand about technology, you know, they would have sat on that hand because, oh no, you're not going to take me with technology.
Right.
But then you're kind of giving them a different perspective. So that's really important, because we partner with accounting firms, law firms that focus and specialize in technology. And the big part of this is to let these girls understand that we're not talking about the nerd sitting in the corner with the glasses, with the tape wrapped around it and the pocket protector. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it. I mean, when we talk to girls, they today, what really frustrates me when I ask them about careers, they will tell me doctor, lawyer, teacher, accountant. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I won't even talk about when I graduated from high school, but I remember those being the careers that I talked about. And it's scary that many, many years later, our young girls still don't have an idea of what right. the possibilities are.
Now, is part of it that some of the jobs that Mike Kelly might be going for don't exist yet in the technology? Is it because it moves? Is that part of the problem as well?
They exist. They exist. We need that partnership. I mean, I truly believe this. It's a partnership between business, our community leaders, our parents, and our schools. It's going to, that whole concept of the village, it takes that village of people to expose our children, to talk to them, to be able to be accountable. I think business needs to be accountable for making sure that our children are educated. And the things that they do, it doesn't mean you necessarily have to teach in the classroom, but it's this part. You have to give them the motivation to want to go into those careers.
Now, do you find that are women that are already in these technology careers, they're leaving at a faster pace than men too, yes? Is that an accurate
Yeah,
stat?
They leave at an interesting pace. So one of the things that's interesting and the challenge that women will have that men don't have is that women have babies. And so oftentimes we are finding women, when they take that break to go out and have a child, more than likely they come back in a different way. They may come mm-hmm. back in a lesser role. They may come back in a different role. So we're seeing that. So that's one of the areas that we also focus on, is the career area. So what we are finding, again, is the women, not those that are having the babies, but those that are leaving, and you're right, in a larger percentage, when you ask them why, they didn't feel comfortable. They didn't feel valued. And again, that goes back to, we are different. So, you know, the men are from Venus and women are from Mars or wherever we're from. The way we interact, the way we communicate is very different. So one of the things we do is help those women in those careers have that support network that they need to understand how to survive, you know, what we'll call it, the good old boys network, but just how to survive that environment. And I like to think that we are also helping our male counterparts kind of understand Venus and Mars a little bit different, so that we can collectively get the value of everybody's talent in that room.
Now, in your perfect world, how would this interaction take place, these partnerships? Like, if you were to draw it up according to your mm-hmm. optimal situation.
Well, our perfect world is growing today as we speak. So what we do is introduce ourselves to the CIOs and leaders of technology organizations. And we have a large list of organizations right. that are supportive of us. And working with those companies is really important for us to find out what are their specific goals of a relationship with WIT,
right.
as well as what are our goals. So once we do that, we form what we call a strategic alliance.
Right.
Knowing what they want to get out of this, then we craft programs and allow them to support in the levels that they want to support. Part of that is financial. We are a nonprofit, so we have to do that. But a huge part of it is by giving, so time and talent. So we have volunteer programs where employees within that company can volunteer. It's a huge part for women. One of the things
now,
that...
Now, can you walk us through what that volunteer experience
absolutely.
Is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So women, one of the things that makes women uniquely different is that women... not only want to but need to volunteer, to feel like they're a part of something. So we have programs from anywhere from managing a project to leading an event to working with the girls in the programs. So a lot of the volunteer roles are actually in line with the jobs that these women do. And they actually, many of their companies, because we're working with them, they look at these as basically career credits for, right, you know, learning and really solidifying those skills.
Now, can you walk us through, like, what's a real example of how a company has participated in that manner?
An example would be CBeyond, okay, a huge partner of Women in Technology. So CBeyond has participated at many, many levels. We have a program called Careers in Action, where it's a leadership development programs for women. CBeyond volunteers instructors for that class, because we use volunteers because that's where that real life experience comes from. CBeyond volunteers in-kind space on their CBeyond campus for us to hold those programs. They are also sponsors, financial sponsors of our key events, and they've also integrated our career development programs into their own human resources programs. So every year they will put through anywhere from, you know, 4 to 8 young ladies at various levels. So we've seen individuals get promoted in the CBeyond world, and we like to think it's partly because of the development that we are offering. We've had Carrie Wheeler, who's the CIO of CBeyond, was one of our Women of the Year awardees last year. Mm-hmm. So we are recognizing these women, and they're integrated into the relationship fully with WIT.
Now, how does a young girl or a parent of a young girl plug into this system? Is there a way for them to say, hey, I'd like to play or to apply to,
right,
to participate in
this
fashion?
Is there an area for middle school, high school age kids through the parents, you know, kind of connecting them to WIT? Is there an aspect of your program?
Absolutely. So if the easiest thing for them to do is go out to our website, mm-hmm, www.mywit.org, and read up on the information on our different various programs. There's also an opportunity on that website to sign up for some of the programs. And there's a huge opportunity for parents and educators and other companies to sign up for additional information about WIT. We have a newsletter that comes out once a month that is very detailed, that will highlight a lot of the programs as well. And we're always welcoming more folks to participate at that level.
And then on the funding side of things, if the family's able, can they just pay a tuition or something like that, or does all your money come? What are some other ways that small businesses and individuals and families can contribute if they have the means?
Right. Well, we're always willing to take donations, and those donations can be made on the website. I will tell you, all of the programs that we put on for the young ladies are absolutely free.
Wow.
So we're not charging anything for those. Our career programs, for example, have tuition costs associated with those. But when we're talking about the pre-career, everything is free through our foundation and the money we raise, which is a great opportunity for me to talk about our major fundraiser, which is called WIT Connect. And we've been doing WIT Connect for about 13 years now. It is one of the big networking events in the Atlanta community. This year it will be held on June 13th at the Georgia Aquarium. And what we do is we auction off time with executive technology leaders like CIOs to other businesses. Again, everything that we do has to have benefit for all parties. So our companies that are being auctioned benefit by giving, again, of their time and talent and helping us raise the money that we need to run the organizations. But the winning bidders also benefit, because these are real-life companies who have a target, for example, to reach or do more business with Coca-Cola. So Ed Steineke has been a big supporter of ours, and he and his leadership team are actually part of our live auction. They will get up on stage and they show out. It is entertaining. It is creative. They will build a package that makes the live auction package, for example, that may include, you know, an hour meeting with Ed Steineke and his leadership team and his purchasing department on the golf course for four. And this is critical, because these companies will tell you, yeah, they can get to Coca-Cola on their own. It might take them 48 months to get there. So for a fee, we are accelerating their sales process. They are paying money. we receive that money, and then ultimately we're able to do the things that we need to do. So we've got our kind of a homegrown community here.
I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, Lee has a great juggling act, and he's rarely busy on Fridays, so we could probably get you something going there.
Well, that works. Yep. This one has to be on a Wednesday, but okay. We'll take you up on that.
We can make that work. Now, we talk to a lot of IT recruiters here, and they say that there's not really an unemployment issue for IT people, that there's a lacking of people to fill those positions. Are you finding that as well?
That is absolutely right. Right now in Georgia, there is a shortage of 4,000 openings where they actually cannot find people
for those jobs. There's jobs to be had if they had the skill. Right?
That's absolutely
so
right.
So now how do you guys play into that challenge?
Well, again, you know, if you look at the beginning of that, that's making sure that young ladies are studying the things that are going to get us there. But the other things that we do, although we don't do anything specifically with finding people for jobs, our goal is to make sure they are qualified to then go after those jobs. We have another program that we are started this year. It's called WIT on Campus. Mm-hmm. So we are partnering with local universities to make sure that the young ladies that are going into these technology fields are getting the exposure and the support and the guidance that they need to be able to, one, stay in those educational programs, because we find a huge percentage of them drop out for all the same reasons that the women are doing that in the career level. And again, we are working with our business community partners to make sure they understand that they're not alone, to provide mentoring and to provide development programs in addition to their educational programs.
Right.
This is fantastic work you're doing. You must sleep really well at night.
I don't sleep at all. But I will after June 13th.
But you do obviously really enjoy your work. It's got to be incredibly, incredibly rewarding. Before we let you go, let's make sure once again that our listeners know how to get in touch and learn more. Website, contact number, that kind of thing.
www.mywit.org. There's a phone number there, and there's opportunities to sign up for the newsletter, to volunteer, and also to get more information.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Very informative and engaging and inspiring conversation.
And it's never too late for women to get involved in this, right?
So absolutely not.
If they haven't been good at math in elementary school, they can jump on in middle school, and same in high school, right? You can still... There's still room to learn, and there's a lot of opportunity out there if they pursue it.
That's absolutely right. And I would also say for women who have chosen other careers, there's huge opportunity to go still look at those technology
get some education to get you ready for this.
Absolutely.
So how about hanging out with us a little bit while we visit with our next guest?
Will do. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. If you're just now joining us, this is the High Velocity Radio Show, and today's segment is brought to you by the Coles College of Business Executive MBA program. We have just been visiting with Stephanie Hill with Women in Technology. And now, next up on the High Velocity Radio Show, I am delighted to introduce Dr. Marilyn Carroll. Welcome to the show, Marilyn.
Thank you, Stone.
God, I love the pearls, man. She is so nicely dressed for radio. Right. I think you win the best dress this morning.
Thanks.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Now, this whole conversation, not foreign to you at all, because you're kind of in this whole career space. Tell us a little bit about your practice and what you're trying to do.
Exactly. Thanks, Stone. KSAP 5i is a career management education company. I started KSAP 5i because the same reason the previous guest was stating, a lot of people get into careers or get into an educational program, and then they decide, I can't finish, or there's a challenge. So as a college professor, part-time college professor, I notice a lot of this happening, and then reading the stats on dropout rates of college students, as well as the dropout rates with high school students. And I said, you know, there is something we can do here. A lot of times the students are not focusing on the positive aspects of their talent makeup. And if I focus on the positive aspects of my talents and skills, then I am more so inclined to work a little bit harder, be more engaged in that process. The same thing applies to individuals in the work setting. We find that a lot of times they will stick with the same thing that they started with because they needed a job. And instead of working towards something that they're passionately engaged or involved with, and helping to use that to take them to the next level.
So Lee wants to know, because he just doesn't get it, why did you call this thing KSAP 5i?
Well, I call it KSAP 5i KSAP stands for knowledge, skills, ability, passion, and then P to the fifth power, meaning preference, positioning, power, planning, process, and interest. And so all of those combined together, I thought, hey, KSAP 5i is a technology term as well, internet. So link it.
That's a fantastic mnemonic. It's a good memory. Well, there's no way you'd remember all that, or at least I would, without some bit of a clue. So career management as a discipline. Can you define a term for us, career management?
Yes. Career management is about understanding where your skill sets are and using those skill sets, your knowledge, skills, and ability, and applying it towards a position in the marketplace where you can go and actively engage in that particular role or roles that you want to play.
Now, what percentage of people out there that are working are, do you think, aligned well with their skills and their interests and their job?
Great question.
It was all right. It was a decent question.
We find through research that between 25% and 30% of individuals are really in line with what they really have the skill sets for.
So two-thirds aren't.
Yes.
So that's a big
That's
opportunity
a
for you.
Number, a huge
so
number.
So one of us should be doing something else.
Right. In this room. Two of us.
Man.
A lot of times, once you align with that, we talk a lot in corporate America about engagement scores, and we find that for the most part, through research, a lot of people are not really engaged in what they're doing so that they can give 110%. They think they may give it 110%, but they're really not. 110% is looking at something and saying, you know what, that book over there or the information that Stephanie spoke about earlier, we could take that and make something out of it. Or in the example we used with Lee and his son or daughter, finding ways to say, yes, I could really do this. If we would only come to the point where we can get those people to that point where they can see, wow, this is something I really want. This, I'm willing to go for it. What do I need? What do I need in this recipe, in my life recipe, in order to make it successful? And that's why I am into career management.
Now, I see some obvious advantages for the individual, and I can see very quickly if there's a room full of 15 or 20 people in a room, you're getting them all fired up. Is it in the best interest for organizations to put some energy and effort into career management education as well, or they've already got them and they need to not worry about it?
Oh, my God, yes. I was, previous to this in lifespan, I was a senior manager at a financial service organization.
I'm sorry. You're a much happier person now, aren't you?
Well, I decided that based on what was going on, I decided to kind of work on what my social entrepreneurial heart was into and help people out there. I could do more justice with helping people than a lot of other people get into what it is they wanted to do besides helping people with their money.
So you were managing your career.
I was managing my career all the way. And so I was prepared for this step. But the ROI, return on investment that we can see here is even though I may start, for example, a job, I may want to be a chef, for example. But through the process, I thought, I can't make enough money to feed my family on a chef's position. But as I go to work and I'm at corporate America working, we'll use financial services, I'm in banking, and I'm working as a manager for a branch manager, but I'm not really getting the results that I need. However, every time I go into the kitchen, I am making a superb recipe. Everybody is all happy. They're giving me accolades for everything that I'm doing around the kitchen. And so we find that if that person was in the kitchen and using their management skills there, instead of using their management skills in the banking as a retail banker, that they would have more success in the long run than they would if they stayed in banking and had the potential of being laid off or out of a job because they weren't performing at the levels that's needed.
Now, you speak, you consult, you write. I'm sure you enjoy working with individuals, but I have to believe the business model for you is largely predicated upon doing the corporate work. Is that
a big part of what I do is You're absolutely right, doing corporate work, working with corporations as well as colleges and universities to really instill in them a education course geared towards individuals managing their career. So I develop career management education programs that help people or their students to really stay engaged in their educational process while at the same time, or the work environment, while at the same time expending that extra energy to work towards the next level in their life.
Now, is that high school or is it college? What level of education?
Right now, for the most part, our focus is on college students. But from time to time, we get information or we get requests from high schools or middle schools to come out and speak to them in their programs around career management education. In the future, we will develop more programs geared toward high school and middle school. But right now, our focus is college students and working adults.
So where I'm headed with this question is the marketing. How do you get in front of the right people that can pay the bills so that this can be a profitable enterprise for you? Because our last guest talked about they had this whole event where you bid money just to get a little bit of time with the senior level executive. How do you go to market?
Well, based on individuals that come up and when I speak, have speaking arrangements or engagements rather, I am talking to them as well as sending out literature specifically towards companies and saying our company can do this for you. So if your enrollment now is at 30% or 40%, we can help you increase that by 10 to 15%. If your organization is not engaged at the levels that you want engagement at, say you're less than 50% engagement, we worked with companies and organizations to get that engagement up through career management education. At the same time, it helps the management team at organizations because we know that organizations are growing flatter and flatter each time. And so with more people really focused on how to manage their career and able to communicate to their managers, we see much a higher level of success for those companies.
Well, I mean, I got to believe with all my heart, if she gets in front of that Coke person, I think they're going to say, we got to have this lady come speak for it. It just seems like it would be hard to get in front of them sometimes, but I can see that once you get it, once you get in front of somebody, you're going to get the gig, aren't you?
Yes. because the argument is very compelling.
Stephanie?
Yeah, I was also thinking that just listening to you talk that our WIT on Campus program would be an awesome place to have you in front of these young ladies talking to them about developing a career management plan because that's something that is still foreign to most people. So,
great.
I have a new volunteer.
That's why we're here for Stephanie.
Stephanie's a go-getter, I tell you.
This is really the WIT volunteer program radio show.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Now, Marilyn, when you're what type of company is the sweet spot that you work with? Technology like Stephanie was saying, or it could be anybody?
It could be any company. Again, this is so universal, career management. A lot of times from a marketing standpoint, we say, what's the best company?
Right.
Well, the best company is that company that's really looking to say, I want to provide or get more input from my students or my employees, and here's what I need to do to make that next level. Or it's for some of the colleges and universities where they see a lot of individuals not able to repay those student loans that they have outstanding because they can't find a job
right. In
order to repay them, or they can't settle for some of the things that they are seeing out there. We help that alumni as well as the students that are actively enrolled to see the way to get to their future. And I tell you, by the time they leave this 10-module course, they are well prepared and more engaged. We had three groups that we tested this out on at each of the groups were from various colleges and universities and at various levels or spectrums of their career. And once they finished, 90% in each one of the three courses, 90% walked away more engaged and at higher levels or sought to get something different where they were more passionately engaged in that particular process.
It's that
career
alignment that's critical, right? If they're misaligned, then they're miserable.
They are miserable, thank you, Lee. And that's exactly the point. They are miserable. They may come to work every day and do what they're supposed to do, but they're not actively engaged in what they're doing.
So they're really not helping the employer at all. They're just taking up a slot that somebody that's better fit would do a much better job.
Exactly. And that's where that's what we're about, finding the best fit, helping people mm-hmm. to find the best fit for their talent, their skills, and what they're passionate about, and their values. Believe it or not, values play a significant role in which area we go to. Stephanie mentioned earlier that individuals that we have the challenge with women having going through the motherhood. But a lot of times that can be you can work through that particular process by knowing, okay, at this particular time, I'm going to have a baby. Here's the type of company I need to be in at this point.
Right.
The next 3 to 4 right. years, I need to be in another type of organization because then I'm ready to go back in. But why I'm out between this space and performing, not performing, but not into the number of hours I would need to be in the next space in order to make it to level B in my career, I need to be working on these particular aspects of things so that I am prepared to go into.
Right. You have to have some sort of a plan. You can't just attack this, you know, day by day.
You gotta
have to, you got to look out a little bit into the future, especially a woman, like you said, with the having a kid element of this that guys aren't really having to deal with.
Right. And guys, but and speaking of guys, one of the courses that I teach for MBA students that as a visiting professor is career strategies. And I noticed all of the guys that come through can really pinpoint what their goals are.
Right.
They may not know specifically if this is the right fit for me, but they are excellent at establishing their goals and saying, here's the path I need to take. I need to start here. I need to maybe connect with someone at AT&T. I need to also connect with someone at, it could be Dell or some other right. aspect. But they know, they seem to have an intrinsic knowledge of what it is they have to do in order to move to that next level and build upon that. Whereas women on the opposite end seem to not understand that connection.
And
that
how
social,
it all fits together.
Mm-hmm,
right.
That political skill, the political skills needed, as well as the social networking skills that's right. needed to make it to that next level.
So there's that gender gap. Are you seeing that there's any generation gap? Like maybe because of the work of people like Stephanie, the younger people are a little more direct, a little more focused, a little better at planning, or are you finding them not as good at
okay.
it?
Another good question.
Now, see, that was a good question.
That was
okay.
We have three, currently we have three and upcoming 4 generations we're working with. We have the baby boomer generation, which was accustomed to just really working hard. That was their mantra. I work hard. And as such, working hard, I get to the next level. Then we have the Generation X, which says, I live to work. Okay? So I'm living, but I'm living, I'm making a living so that I can, or I'm working so I can make a living. And then we have Generation Y, which is up to the 1990s.
Right.
And that generation said, I'm living. I'll work later. So when we work with those, you have to have a different strategy for each of those. And can you imagine an employer bringing in those three particular groups and having them on staff and trying to work with those three different areas, that thought process? You can't do the same thing for them. So we need for each individual to have their own plan and to map that out. Because if I'm in Generation Y, I don't want to. I'm here. But I'm going to make my money. You tell me what it is you need. I'll get up to date on that, and I'll go and do it. If I'm from Generation X, tell me what I need. I'm very competitive. So if there's competition, I'm gonna make this work. And then you have a baby boomer saying, listen, I've done everything I'm supposed to do right now, and I'm taking a chill pill. So give me what I need. I'll give you my knowledge because they have lots of knowledge. And I can help you capture what you need. But you, on the other end of this, you have to help me.
Yeah. So, well, I was thinking, too, a little bit earlier in the conversation, you're talking about women have a unique challenge in that they have babies or they have other things going on in their lives. But I also think there's something to, I mean, look, you've gotten a PhD, you're an author, you're a motivational speaker, you've gotten it done. And surely they also just need to open their eyes to the opportunities, because I can tell you, there are jobs right here at Business Radio X that a woman having a baby could do from
right.
home.
Right.
I mean, it could be editing audio. I mean, given this day and age, there are
yes.
alternatives available.
That's
yeah?
right. And it's not just I'm going to get a job and work and go somewhere 9 to 5. Like, there's so much more virtual work happening. To
yes.
just be open to that.
And in order to be open to that, though, we have to teach women back to how to utilize technology. And one of the things we take people through in the course is about all the various components of technology. In my purse, I have a mini notepad, an iPhone, and an iPad.
Right.
Three. I use technology. I am super busy. And I have to utilize technology in order to make it through my day. Without it, I can't survive. Because I'm connecting with people from all over the United States, sometimes in other countries. So I cannot survive without that technology.
So I think it'd be a lot of fun to go out on the road with you and do workshops, especially in other cultures. That'd be a lot of fun. So you got anything coming up that you want to let us know about? You got some workshops coming up?
We are going to spin off some workshops trying to. I'm very involved with United Way, Tocqueville Society, as well as Women in Leadership, and then Georgia CASA. Those are my two primary nonprofits that I work with. So as such, I am. Our next project is going to be some seminars that give back to those particular nonprofits.
Oh, great. That's terrific. Well, how can our listeners learn more, get in touch with you, have a substantive conversation with you, maybe entertain the idea of having you come out and work with their folks?
Okay. They can contact me at KSAP, KSAP5I.com. Or they can reach me at 404-375-8487.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you in the studio. And, man, I'm going to make sure that both of my girls listen to this this show today. You know, at the top of the show, we had Stephanie Hill. And I want to come back to you. I think we still have the mic open. Because you mentioned an upcoming event or process, WIT Connect. Say a little bit more about that before we wrap.
So WIT Connect is on June 13th at the at Georgia Aquarium, and it is the auctioning of time with C-level leaders, both in the silent and the live auction. And this year I want to give a great shout-out to our sponsor, which is Dell, who has proven to be an awesome sponsor and supporter of Women in Technology.
That's fantastic. Well, both of you ladies, thank you both so much for joining us. I learned a lot. Lee, you probably knew all this stuff.
I didn't know none of it. Thank you for being here.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor and our guests this morning, Stephanie Hill, Dr. Marilyn Carroll, and for the rest of the Business Radio X family, we'll see you in the fast lane.